Welcome to Change Starts Here, a Franklin Covey Education podcast for K-12 leaders driving meaningful change through bold thinking, real stories, and proven strategies for lasting impact. Now here's your host, Dustin Odom.
Welcome everyone to the Change Starts Here podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Odom. And this week's episode is inspired by my 11-year-old Luke and our experience at his back to school, our Meet the Teacher night a couple weeks back. I've been in education for over 20 years, and even going back to my first day of teaching, walking in the big halls of Beaumont High School, I didn't feel as anxious as I felt the night Luke and I went to meet the teacher. Now, we love our district. We love the elementary school we went to. We love this middle school he's going to, and we're really excited for the high school. And so by no means does this have anything to do with the people that serve our kids. It's more of the experience. Our middle school is going through construction, and so it feels a lot smaller. And that same night, they had all 6th, 7th, and 8th graders in the building to meet the teacher. And it just felt overwhelming. It felt like the lines were long to talk to teachers. So obviously the teachers who wanted to engage, it was really hard for them to do it. And so you didn't come out of there with a sense of peace or a sense of belonging. And the other night I felt myself spiraling. I don't know if you guys spiral, but my friend Christy and I often talk about how we can have our thoughts spiral. And I was spiraling on, you know, thinking he's going to a big school, lots of kids, lots of moving parts, construction. And honestly, I think my biggest fear is that he'll just slip through the cracks. He, not in the grade sort of way, but he'll, I don't know. I think my biggest fear is that he'll just be another face in the hallway, that no one will notice his humor, his kindness, his leadership, and that people will be too busy managing the crowd to see who he really is. And I don't want him to be anonymous. And here's the thing that kind of helped me out of the spiral is I firmly believe that every parent feels the same way about their child. And I think every student, whether they say it or not, wants to be seen, wants to be noticed, and wants someone to believe in their genius. And to me, that's why this conversation today matters, because the way we see our students shapes everything. It determines whether we unlock that genius or unintentionally shut it down. So let me tell you the story of three different students. I'll start with Emily. Emily's the kind of student every teacher loves, always early, homework color-coded, hand up before we've even finished the question. On paper, she's flawless, straight A's, captain of the debate team, leader in every activity. But what most people don't see is that at night, Emily cries quietly in her room. She's terrified of making one mistake, and she's terrified of letting anyone down. One time, she turned in a 5-page essay, grammar perfect, MLA format flawless. Her teacher handed it back with a single word, excellent. That's it. Emily smiled politely, but later told a friend, I don't think anyone actually reads what I write. They just assume it's good because it's me. Now, if we only see Emily as the star, we might miss what she really needs. She needs to know her worth isn't in her grades. Her genius isn't just achievement. It's her empathy, her drive, her courage. Now, let me tell you about Marcus. Marcus sits in the middle row, third seat from the back. He doesn't raise his hand, but he doesn't cause trouble either. His grades are steady B's and C's. Teachers describe Marcus as pleasant or quiet. At home, Marcus is the oldest of three. Both parents work long shifts, so he makes dinner, helps his brother with homework, and keeps the TV volume down so they can sleep. In science class recently, students were asked to build popsicle stick bridges. Marcus quietly built one that held twice the weight of anyone else in the class. The teacher said, Marcus, I didn't know you had that in you. The class clapped. Marcus smiled for a second. But the next day, he was right back in the middle row, quiet, head down, and essentially invisible again. You see, if we see Marcus as, I don't know, for a lack of a better term, average, we unintentionally teach him to believe that he has nothing unique to offer the world. But his genius is there. It's in his imagination. It's in his reliability. And it's in his quiet leadership. Then there's Jared. Jared's reputation usually enters the room before he does. Teachers see his name on the roster and tense up. He blurts out jokes. He pushes limits. He ends up in the principal's office more times than he can count. But then came this history project. Students could research the civil rights movement however they wanted. Jared convinced the group to do a mock news broadcast. He wrote half the script, directed the whole thing, and when they performed it, the class was riveted. Afterward, the teacher said, "I saw a side of Jared I'd never seen before." But when the project ended, Jared went right back to being the class clown, because that's how everyone saw him. And if our paradigm is Jared's a clown or Jared's a problem, we'll miss what's really there. His boldness, his charisma, his leadership. That's his genius. As we close, I want to talk to three different groups of folks. My words are meant for everybody, but specifically, I want to talk to teachers, school leaders, and district leaders. And so let me just start with the teachers. I know what you're thinking. Dustin, I've got 30, maybe 40, maybe even 50 kids in my class right now. I have lesson plans stacked a mile high, parents emailing me possibly at midnight, and I'm asking you to see the genius in every kid while you're just trying to wake up and get to school. I hear you. I live with the chief of staff who is experiencing all those same feelings, and our close friends who are principals and teachers are feeling the same way. I am not here to pile on guilt. You already are caring more than anyone can even imagine. But what I'm talking about isn't about doing more. It's about seeing differently. It's noticing Emily and saying, "You're more than a grade." It's catching Marcus, maybe drawing, and saying, "You're an artist." And it's pulling Jared aside and saying, "You're a leader." Moments like that don't just add hours to your day, but they can change a kid's entire trajectory. And teachers, let me just say this. You are legacy builders. Every interaction writes a part of the story your students will carry them forever. Let me say that again. You are legacy builders. Every interaction writes part of the story your students will carry forever. You may not always get to see the impact, but I promise you it's there. Now, school leaders, you set the tone for your building. If your culture only celebrates test scores, students will start to believe that's all they are. If you only spotlight the easy kids, students like Marcus and Jared will fade in the background. But if you create a culture where teachers feel supported to notice every student's genius, that changes everything. It starts with how you see your teachers. Do you view your teachers as test score machines or as the legacy builders they really are? And finally, district leaders, your influence stretches even further. The paradigms you set shape everything: hiring, curriculum, accountability, funding. If you only reward the Emilys, your graduate achievers quietly carry perfectionism. If you ignore the Marcuses, you'll lose generations who never believe they actually matter. And if you fail to redeem the Jareds, please listen to this one because this is so easy to do. If you fail to redeem the Jareds, you'll watch leadership energy get washed or wasted on discipline instead of being channeled into student leadership. Your legacy isn't measured in budgets or board reports. It's measured in lives transformed. So here's where I want to land. Emily doesn't just need applause. She needs freedom from perfection. Marcus doesn't just need to blend in. He needs to be seen and stretched. Jared does need discipline, but he doesn't just need discipline. He needs belief and direction. If we only empower the kids who are easy to empower, we're not building empowerment. We're just rewarding compliance. The real shift happens when we choose to see differently, to call out the genius, and even when that genius is buried under fear, apathy, or defiance. So let me ask you, who's your Emily? Who's your Marcus? Who's your Jared? And how will you choose to see them differently this year? Because when we change the way we see our students, We don't just change classrooms. We change lives. You are all legacy builders. And every choice you make to see people differently adds to that legacy. So to support you in this work, we've included a resource in this episode description. Make sure you back out wherever you're listening to this or watching it and go look for the pregame paradigm check. It's a simple but powerful tool to help you reflect on your own paradigms of potential and to take intentional steps to unleash the greatness in every student, every staff member, and every community partner connected to your school. Coming up, we've got powerful research conversations, bold guest episodes, each designed to stretch your thinking and fuel your leadership. So I want you to stay connected. So subscribe wherever you listen, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, so you don't miss any of the meaningful conversations that are coming up. Every episode is crafted to bring you fresh insights, practical tools, and encouragement for your journey as an educator and leader. This is Change Starts Here, and I thank you so much for spending time with me today. What I share about my son, Luke, is really the same hope I carry for every student, that none of them go unseen or unheard. I don't want him to be anonymous at his school, and I don't want any of your students to be anonymous either. So let's lead as legacy builders, the people who notice, people who believe in and call out the genius in every child. Thank you for being a part of this community. Until next time.
Franklin Covey Education is a trusted partner in developing leaders from the classroom to the boardroom in over 8,000 schools in over 70 countries.